prepare your Bible tonight and go over to the book of 2 Timothy chapter 2 tonight. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Good to see everybody here with us tonight. I tell you, it is a joy to be here. I do have one request that I do need to make while I'm thinking about it. Got on my mind. I do want you to pray for Sister Sherry West. I do want you to remember her. That's Brother Marvin's wife. Matter of fact, Brother Marvin was preaching this morning. He had a homecoming to go preach this morning, but Sister Sherry's been sick. She's Wednesday night. We made requests for her, said that that they thought she had bronchitis, and then they tested her for COVID-19 too. And when I say too, that means also, but that also means they tested her twice. And one come back positive and one come back negative. So you just pray for her tonight. Amen. And so you pray for Sister Sherry tonight. She's just not feeling real good, so you make sure to pray for her. Let's stand to our feet tonight while we read the Word of God, 2 Timothy chapter 2, and look in verse 15. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. The Bible says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some." Let me park right here and say, Paul didn't care to call names, did he? Amen. Paul didn't care to call names of somebody that was teaching false doctrine. And would to God that would happen more today, to warn folk of those that are teaching and preaching false doctrine today. Verse 19, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His." Amen. Thank God for that. "And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strife. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive of him by him at His will." You can be seated tonight. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we certainly need a touch now and need Your help and need Your strength tonight. I pray You'd guard our mind and our thoughts. Save somebody that might be lost. I pray we might learn from the Word of God and that You'd be honored in all this. And we love You and we thank You. All this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I want to preach tonight having a thought that we're going to deal in that primarily with verse 21. Where he talks about over here being meet for the master's use. And I want to preach tonight on the usefulness of the believer. Now, have you ever heard that old saying that that's about as useful as a shirt on a pocket? I mean, a pocket on a shirt. You ever heard that old saying that you got a pocket on a shirt? It's handy, ain't it? Amen. Or that's just as good as sliced bread. I'd rather have sliced bread as to have bread that I got to slice. Amen. But have you ever had something that was just handy to have? Maybe a tool, a cooking utensil, piece of furniture that you like to set in. It was just useful in that to have. Can I say tonight that as God's people and as believers, we should be useful and that to the cause of Christ and not unuseful to Him. Now quickly in the scripture that I read right here, starting in verse 15, we find that we are to study and rightly divide the Word of God. Listen, you need to study your Bible. I need to study my Bible. Every one of us tonight ought to be in that a theologian in that of the Word of God. You ought to at least take some time to study your Bible. That'll clear up some issues that you have have in your life that'll clear up some questions that you might have if you will read and study your Bible. As a matter of fact, he said to shun the wrong doctrine in verse 16. He said, shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more what? Ungodliness. You know what? Vain babbling, just rattling off at the mouth and talking about things. As a matter of fact, he comes down here and talks about Hymenaeus and Philetus. Listen, who talk about how that the resurrection has already passed. He said they have erred concerning the truth and overthrow the faith of some. I would call that wrong doctrine, false doctrine, unsound doctrine. Hey, I'm glad that the resurrection ain't passed yet. It's still to come. Thank God for that. Say amen, church, to that. Amen. Hey, I'm looking to go out in the rapture tonight and in the resurrection. But if I don't and I go by the way of death, that'll be fine too. Amen. But we're to study. And the only way that you'll know how to shun wrong doctrine is to have studied the Word of God. If you will study and that the truth of God's Word, you will know what's wrong tonight. Y'all know where I'm headed with this. Sister Pat Pegram, who worked at the bank for years, I heard her say more than once, you know how they taught us to know counterfeit money? They would bring us the real dollar bill and we would study that. And that's how we knew when there was a counterfeit come through. You study the real thing and you'll know when a counterfeit comes through. Listen, but then he talks about the seal of God down here in verse 19. Listen, the seal of God, the foundation of God is sure and it is sealed. And he said, the Lord knoweth those, them that are His. Ain't you glad the Lord knows you tonight if you're saved? Amen. Listen tonight when you stand before Him, listen over at the judgment seat, He'll know you. When you leave out of here and you're in His presence, at the time of death, He will know you. But if you're lost tonight, listen and you stand before Him, He will say, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, for I never knew you. He will not say that I used to know you, and forgot you. He will say, I never knew you. What a shame. And that for somebody to die lost and stand before an almighty and an all righteous God. For him to say that. But I'm glad tonight, friend, that he knows me. And I know him. I'm glad tonight the Bible tells us in John chapter 10 over there. He says, my sheep know my voice. He tells us there and I know them. Thank God he knows his sheep tonight. And in the seal of God standing sure, he tells us to depart and that from iniquity. Then he deals in that with the vessels. He deals and that with separation in verse 22 and verse 23. He says, flee youthful lust. He says, foolish and unlearned questions avoid. So there should be some separation. In verses 24 and 25, we see the servant's actions that we should have. That we're not to strive, but be gentle and patient and apt to teach. And meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. And in verse 26, we see Satan's snare. And that for those that are lost tonight. Let me say that if you're lost tonight, that friend, you're taken captive in the snare of Satan. And he owns you. And you belong to him. John 8:44. Jesus told them men over there. He said, you of your father the devil. And the lust of your fathers you'll do. The lust of your father you'll do. Listen, you may think you're good tonight. But you're not good enough to merit Christ Jesus the Lord. Only in his righteousness are we good. Amen. And he's the only good thing about us. Thank God for that. Feel like preaching tonight. Amen. But I want to look here in verse 20 and 21. He talks about a great house with vessels of gold and of silver. He talks about those of wood and earth and some of honor and dishonor. And so he talks about the vessel. And we understand tonight that a vessel is something that carries something else. This cup tonight is a vessel. It's got water on the inside of it. And so it's carrying the water. Thank God for water tonight. Amen. Listen tonight. It's a vessel. For us, in being a vessel for Christ, because he comes down in verse 21 and then he says, if a man, so we've changed gears, have we not? If a man therefore purge himself from these, what are we talking about? Purge himself from what? I believe he is actually making reference in that to verse 19 where he talks about the iniquity. Let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. We're to purge ourselves from sin and iniquity. We're to purge ourselves from profane and vain babblings and all these things. He said, if we would purge ourselves from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor. Now he's talking about somebody. We went from a literal vessel, talking about a vessel in verse 20, to talking about a man in verse 21. Can I say tonight that we are a vessel in serving Christ? The vessel does not tell the master what he wants done. That cup did not tell my wife when she got that water, I don't want to get water tonight. Did it talk to you? Never did, no. Didn't talk to her. I thought if it talked to her, that'd be a trick, wouldn't it? We're going on the road with a talking cup, kind of like Michigan J. Frog, you know. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Some of you ain't got a clue tonight. Go watch a little Bugs Bunny. It'll be good. But that vessel, that cup, didn't tell my wife, I don't want me a cup of water tonight. Now, if that cup was dirty, I sure wouldn't have wanted my wife to put water in it. Because I don't want to drink no dirty water. I don't want to use a vessel that's got dirt in it. My grandmother used to say when we'd be working down in the garden and you'd go over there to get a little drink out of the cooler or out of the water jug, she said, now them little black specks won't hurt you. I'm still not convinced of that. Amen. Them little black specks might hurt you. I don't know. But as I look at this, I don't see a bit of dirt, and so I'm happy to drink out of it. But you know, when we look at this scripture right here and we deal with a vessel, he talks about first in verse 21, would we agree tonight that we're the vessel that the Lord wants to use on this earth? Would you agree tonight that we're to be useful and that for the Lord Jesus Christ? I think tonight that we can all agree to that and understand that. And so he comes to verse 21, and if he says, a man therefore purge himself from these. So number one, in the usefulness of the believer, for us to be used, there needs to be a purging. That don't mean that there is wickedness and horrible sin inside of you. I hope there's not tonight. I really pray. I mean, there are some people tonight that are saved, but yet they are very worldly and they have a lot of sin that is in their life tonight. And to purge means to clean or to purify by separating and carrying off what is impure. If you're going to purge something, you not only take it out, but you get rid of it. You know why you don't let something sit around that you don't need to fool with? Because if you let it sit around and hang around day in and day out, you might fool with it. Right? It might get you in trouble. You might go back to doing something that you shouldn't do. Now let me say tonight that if you're lost, you cannot clean yourself. Job tells us over there in Job chapter 14, who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one, the Bible says. But Revelations 1 and 5 said, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. So he cleans us, friend, and gets us a fit subject for heaven. But in our flesh tonight, it's up to us to purge some things out of our life. Now look what he says. If a man therefore purge himself from these, as you've heard me say with the word let, L-E-T, that puts the ball in our court. That is a decision that you have to make. That is something that we need to look into our heart and look in and see, is there some things, is there some attitudes maybe that we have, maybe some bitterness or hatefulness or malice or pride that needs to be taken out of our life. Now the Lord will help us with that stuff. But we've got to make the decision. And by the way, let me point this out to you too. Most of the time, the Lord will show you what needs to come out if you'll ask Him. He really will. If you'll ask Him, now, and I'm getting ahead of myself, but that is the scary part, is when we go to ask Him about what's in there. I was just to a preacher the other day for a little while, and he was talking about just fixing some things in your life, and he was talking about asking the Lord, you know, Lord, look into my heart and tell me what needs to be fixed. And he said, that can be a scary thing, and I agree, that can be a scary thing. Because there's no telling what the Lord's liable to start picking in our life. He said, just, Lord, help me with the little things first. Or the big things, just say that, or the big things that really need to come out. I want you to take your Bible tonight and go to Psalms chapter 19. What I'm preaching tonight is something that we all need to do, but it's a little tough sometimes. Psalms chapter 19. Because see, here's what I want you to keep in your mind while you go to Psalms 19 is I want to be useful for the Master. I want to be a useful believer. I just don't want to be saved and then come and sit on a church pew or the Lord not be able to use me in His service and just be dead weight, if you'd let me say that. Psalms chapter 19, look in verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. So we're dealing with the Word of God. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired of they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and keeping of them there is great reward. Well, now there's a good promise, ain't it? It's in the Word of God, the judgment of God, the law of God, that the servant, that is us, we're warned, ain't we? We're warned and that to stay away from sin. We're warned and that to go down the wrong path. And then in verse 12, he said, who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. You know what that word presumptuous means? That's that bold and confident into excess. That's that arrogant sin. He says, keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. What did he say in verse 12? He said, who can understand his errors? Who can understand what's going on in his life? You know that we need the Lord to point some things out to us, and He points those out by the Word of God. He's talking about the Word of God, the judgment of God, the law of God, the statutes of God, and it's by those that He points them out into our heart and into our mind, and He says, cleanse thou me from secret faults. Or those things that are embedded in me and hid in me that nobody else sees. Help me with those things. Sometimes pride. Amen? I get a little prideful from time to time. I can even get a little spiteful if I ain't careful. You know, not you, preacher. You wouldn't get spiteful, would you? I can think about it. I can be like them kids, man. You step on my toe, I'll step on yours back, man. I mean, that's just, come here. I'll get it, you know. Like when we was kids, yeah. Listen, we want to get spiteful, and God has to work on it. And I don't like my mind going that direction because I become unuseful for the master at that point. He talks about cleanse me from those secret sins, those secret thoughts. And he says, Lord, keep me back. Keep me back from that presumptuous sin. There's some things that needs to be purged out of our life. If you go over to John chapter 15, he said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. You know why you need to take that stuff out of your life? Say, I don't believe that I'm preaching to people tonight that are just wicked, vile sinners. You understand what I'm saying? We are wicked, vile sinners, by the way. I mean, in comparison to the Lord Jesus Christ, we're just as wicked and vile as we can be in our flesh. But thanks be unto God, He saved us and forgave us. But there is some things that needs to be purged and worked on in our life tonight. So He said, if every branch in me that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. And then He said, now you're clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. How's all of it work? In this book right here. How does He tell you what needs to be taken care of in your life? This book. You got to read, man. You got to read. You got to take it and you got to read it and let Him deal with it. I mean, it's going to come through preaching, teaching, reading, studying somewhere. The Word of God, the Holy Spirit is going to take it and begin to work on your heart with the Word of God. I told you, but was it this past Wednesday night? I talked about this. And there's just been some... I'll just cut to the chase. There's been some a handful of TV shows that, and I do have TV, by the way. I think you need to be careful what you watch on it, how much time you spend in front of it. But they just been some of them things that we've watched, and the Lord has just bothered me about them. Not that they was bad, but they just wasn't good, and the Lord just bothered me about them. And you know what? And the more I thought about that and I dwelled on that, I just thought, and I would think to myself, how much happier the Lord would be with me if I just didn't watch that. Not that there's anything tremendously wrong with it. Probably watch it and get away with it, but it just puts some stuff in your mind sometimes that just don't belong there. And I began to pray about that because I knew that was also something that my wife liked to watch. And I told her, I said, I didn't want to come in the house and say, and be an old gramps and a bear and say, this is how it's going to be. And sometimes that's just how it's going to be. Men, ain't that right? If something's wrong, you just got to take care of it. You just got to fix it. But don't be a grouch and a bear about it. But I began to pray about that thing. You know what? We were going down the road the other day and we were talking about some things. And she was the one that brought it up. And she said, by the way, she says, you know, this, I just cringe at some of them things that go on. I said, well, why don't we just fix that? Why don't we just quit watching it? You know what you do? You quit watching it, you don't have to cringe at it no more. This kind of makes sense to me. I mean, maybe it don't make sense to you, but listen, there's very few things. You may have a great, exciting life, but I'm going to be honest with you, some of our entertainment comes through that TV. I'll just be straight with you right now. And there are some things that I like to watch on there from time to time. One fellow said, I like a good Matlock mystery, you know. Some of y'all don't even know who Matlock is. Do you know who Matlock is? Okay, all right. Making sure now. But there's just some things that we watch or what we see or what we say or what we hear. It creates problems in our life. And that stuff needs to be purged out of us. It needs to be taken out of us. And it'll set up residence in us if we're not careful. So to be useful and to be fruitful, he said in the book of John, he said, there's some of that stuff. He said, we're bringing forth fruit. We're bringing forth fruit. But there's just some stuff that needs to be taken on out that will bring forth more fruit. Now, don't you want to be a good vessel, a vessel of honor unto the Lord? I really do tonight. I mean, we got to purge some things out of our life and let Him help us. He said, if a man therefore purge himself from these. And then we see, well, take your Bible and go to the book of Ephesians chapter 5 real quick. Go to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. And, well, we'll just begin to read in verse 1. Ephesians 5 and verse 1. The Bible says, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children." I've got a message on how do dear children follow. He said, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children." How do they follow? He kind of tells us on down through here in verse 2. "And walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering, a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor." Ain't you glad of that tonight, that Christ was our sacrifice? Thank God for that. He said, "But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no whoremonger nor unclean person nor covetous man," by the way, those all work together back up in verse 3. Go back and look at that. "Nor covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth." Now what's verse 10? Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. So he lays out some instruction for us in verses 1 through 9, or 1 through 8, and tells us about the fruit of the Spirit in verse 9. But then he says, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. So if we're going to be useful unto the Lord as a vessel, then we have to prove what is acceptable to have in our life and to have in our home, right? It's exciting tonight, ain't it? Listen, you know why I preach on this? Because I deal with it just like you do. And I don't know if you feel about things the same way that I do. I hope you do. I just want to be useful to the Lord. The older I get, I don't know what it is. Maybe it's the closer of His coming. I don't know. Or maybe I'm just wanting to draw closer and closer. But I just want to be more useful and useful to Him. Just want to be useful to Him. So there's a purging that has to take place in verse 21. But then there is the peculiarity of the vessel. There's some things that, you know, that word peculiar, we think it means strange. It literally means to belong to. When you say he or she has peculiar ways, then you're talking about their ways belong to them. You say, well, the preacher is peculiar. My ways belong to me. That's the way I do things, you know. The Lord tells us over there at one point that we are to be a peculiar people who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. But look at the peculiarity of the vessel. He said it is to be a vessel unto what? Honor. You know what that word honor means? It means that one that is... one that is, how can I put this, of esteem. That word honor means to be esteemed or to be reverenced, if you would. But it's not a vessel unto honor for the vessel's sake. It is a vessel unto honor for the master's sake. See, the vessel unto honor right here, it being clean and useful, was not for the cup to be praised, but so that I could use it because I'm the master of this vessel. Right? Now, if I want to praise on the cup, that's my prerogative, ain't it? Because I'm the master of the cup tonight. It's good cold water. Thank goodness for that. Are we together? You understand what I'm talking about? But let me put it to you like this. Matthew chapter 5, on the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." It's not for folks to see how you live and honor you, but it's for folks to see how you live and honor God. Your life is to be God. I want a God honor in church. I want a God honor in life. I want a God honor in home. I want everything about me to be God honoring. I do. I want everything that I can do, say, speak, think, listen, I want Him to be honored in everything that I do, and I know that He ain't always that way. But listen, I want my life, when we come in here to worship, I want Him to be honored in our praise. Everything, I want Him to be honored. To be lifted up. So the peculiarity of the vessel is it's one unto honor. And if God wants to honor us, that's up to Him. And you know, when you serve Him and you live for Him and your life honors Him, He always has a way of exalting us. That's what's amazing. Just go over there and look at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael. What'd they do? Well, they were willing to go through the fire. They went through the fire. They were in the fire. They come out of the fire. And God made sure that they got promoted. Why? Because their life was honoring unto Him. You know, Daniel. Well, God honored David too, by the way. Why? Because everything David done. Man, when he was that shepherd boy out there in the field, loved God. Honored God. Come in. When he come in and had to fight Goliath, honored God. His life honored God. Honored God. And God made him king. You look at Daniel, everything Daniel done, honored God. And God brought him through all of it. Everything Joseph done. I'm going to preach on Joseph here pretty soon if God will let me. I've been studying Joseph here lately. And that's some more story when you really look at Joseph's life. Man, so many types of the Lord Jesus Christ with Joseph. That we've been to 163 types, I believe that's right, of Joseph, of the Lord Jesus Christ. That may be a little high, but we'd have to go back and count them. But listen, just amazing that everything that God... And you know, Joseph got in trouble for being right, for doing right, for acting right, for living right. Joseph got in trouble. You remember when he's down there in Potiphar's house? You remember in Potiphar's wife, I wanted him to lay with her. And the Bible tells somebody that she done that. She bothered him day in and day out. Every day, that temptation come to him every day. And he would tell her, how can I do this wickedness against God? He was not going to commit adultery nor fornication. And so when she caught him by his coat and said, lie with me. And he left his coat in her hand and ran out. He fleed fornication. Is that not what he said in verse 22 right here, the text verse? Flee also youthful lust. He tells us in another point to flee fornication. Run away. That's what that word flee means. Run from. You run as fast and as hard and as far as you can get away from it. And so she cried out. And told a lie on Joseph. For what? For doing right. Not everybody's always going to love you, but God will. You honor God in your life. And have a peculiar life. And that to Him. God honored. Then he talks about sanctification. Being set apart. That's what that word sanctify means. Set apart and clean and holy. And that where the Lord can and will and does use us. 2 Chronicles chapter 29. And said unto them, I believe the king's talking right here, hear me, you Levites, sanctify now yourselves and sanctify the house of God of your fathers and carry forth the filthiness out of the holy place. I found that interesting, that sanctification and filthiness and holy place was all tied together in the same verse. Because we're a holy place. According to 1 Corinthians over there, the Spirit of God resides in us. Ain't that right? You're not your own. You're bought with the price. And the Holy Spirit resides on the inside of us. Need to give Him a clean house to live in. Take your Bible and go to the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Go with me now. Talking about sanctification right now. Which means to be set apart. To be set apart means you're going to have to be separated out of this world. Look in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Look in verse 1. Is that where I want to be? Let me see if it's 2 Thessalonians chapter 5. Well, there ain't no 2 Thessalonians chapter. That ain't good. I believe we need to go chapter 4. I wrote it down wrong. Don't you hate it when that happens? Amen. Jeff said yes. And you can write it down wrong. Look in verse chapter 4, verse 1. Furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as you have received of us how you ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more. For you know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. That every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. Looks like we've heard about that, haven't we? Not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. For God hath not called us to uncleanness, but unto holiness. So as we purge out those things that don't belong there, and then we become that vessel to honor, one that God can use and will use and that is honored in our life, He sets us apart. We're trying to stay clean and want to be holy and living holy. And a lot of people think that that is a magical and mystical thing. It is not. It is not. If we just going to live right for God and live for Him, that's living holy. It's just living holy. And I think we can and should live holy. There is a peculiarity. You know, when people see us, they ought to say, boy, them people's different. Them people think different. They talk different. They act different. Their home is different. Man, their home is happy. There's something different about them people. They go to church all the time, don't they, Jeremiah? Some of y'all know what I mean by that. There is to be a peculiarity about us. We're to be sanctified, and that means to be set apart from something, but it also means to be set apart to something. And that is for the Lord to use us. To be where we can be used for Him. So that brings us down to where it says that there is a preparation of the vessel, meet for the master's use and prepared unto every good work. That word meet means proper and suitable. That means we are suitable. We are proper for Him to use us. He will use us and wants to use us. And then we were to be prepared for that. We're to be prepared for God to use us. I just want to be a useful, useful vessel tonight. One that God can use. He may not make a preacher out of you or a preacher's wife or a missionary or a missionary's wife. He don't do that with everybody. But that don't mean you can't be used to God. Just need folk out there to live right and live holy. Do right. Think right. Be a good witness. And just be God honoring. And you purge out what don't belong there. You set apart so that you can serve Him sanctified. Have a peculiar way about you, and then He'll use you. That's what takes us by our head tonight. How's your life with Christ? Are you useful for the Master tonight? So we get a little music tonight there, Jacob. Are you useful? He said, meet for the Master's use. Are we meet for the Master's use tonight? Can God use us? Can God use you? Are you in a place where God would want to use you? I hope so. You might need to come and pray tonight. There may be some things that you need to talk to the Lord about. God's dealt with your heart, maybe about some sin or iniquity that's in your life tonight. Or maybe some little things over there. You know it is the little foxes that spoil the vines. It's that little stuff. Maybe you just need to come take care of that. But tonight, maybe you find yourself lost, never being saved, never trusting Christ. You can try to live right all you want to and do good all you want to, but there's none righteous, no, not one, the Bible tells us. There's none that doeth good. There's none that seeketh after it gone. But if you'll come to Him, He'll save you tonight. Are you meet for the Master's use tonight? Is your life God-honoring? Is your home God-honoring?